Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
On the line, we have Rudy Roshman. Rudy is an Israeli Jewish rights activist. He is very active on social media. We've spoken to Rudy before, and I thought given what we have been through over the past 2 weeks, it would be pretty insightful to speak to him again. Rudy Roshman, shalom lecha. How are you this afternoon?
Oh, Hashem, I'm great. I'm here in Jerusalem, so I can't really complain. How are you?
I have got a big smile on my face. I wish I was there with you for multiple reasons. But Rudy, I wanted to talk to you about the past 2.5 weeks. I wanted to talk to you about the fact that you are active on social media, clearly a very difficult space to be. Clearly, many of our Jewish youth experiencing unprecedented hatred on social media platforms. And I thought perhaps you, with your experience, could give them some advice as to how best to deal with this situation.
Sure. First of all, I think a lot of people are surprised at the situation, and I think that's a problem in itself, that we're not recognizing that deep within pop culture today, mainstream pop culture across many societies, whether in Europe, America, South Africa, sure, Australia, and other places, even in the Middle East and elsewhere, that it's become mainstream today to hate Israel and to see Israel as the source of the problem, and we know exactly where that stems from. And so there's been movements across college campuses, intellectual spaces, trying to convince the next generation's political and intellectual class that the source of all problems is either connected to Israel or is because of Israel. And that's exactly what the far right and the far left's anti-Semitism is. The far right's anti-Semitism is finding the source of suffering and pain of a society and blaming it on the Jews. War, economic situation, disease, blame that on the Jews. The far left's anti-Semitism, which is more prevalent today in younger and more intellectual or political spaces, is finding what society is deeply ashamed of its past. So for example, apartheid, colonization, genocide, ethnic cleansing, racism, and rather than dealing with it and in their shame of their own society, pinning it on the Jews and having that as an outlet to deal with it. And so for a very long time, over 20 years, they've been pushing these ideas to the next generation, creating coalitions and convincing people that the source of all problems, again, is either the Jewish people or the state of Israel. And the Jewish people, for the most part, have been very oblivious to this problem. And all of a sudden, it's erupting in our faces and people are asking why.
Yeah, you know, really, I'm just reading about the Times of Israel. They're reporting yesterday that the number of young evangelicals, even their support for Israel, has plummeted. Over the last 2 years, it has gone from massive support to almost in the teens support. Israel, somewhere along the line, is failing in getting its message across. How do you fix the failure?
To me, I don't necessarily see the help of evangelicals as the solution, because evangelicals at the end of the day believe that all Jews should be killed by Jesus in order for Jesus to come back or for whatever else to achieve. So that for me is not necessarily an ally. But that being said, I don't think that the reason for why so many people are turning away from Israel is because of anything religious. I think it's more so because of something social, because they come to these spaces, whether it's in their work, in their school, in their friend groups, online, and they sort of feel a social pressure to side with the side that's anti-Israel. Not even the side that's pro-Palestinian, the side that's using Palestinian struggles to target and be against Israel. So how do we change this? Well, we have to narrate our story. And the problem is we haven't been doing that. For a very long time, we've been talking about facts. We've been talking about 1948. We've been talking about the UN partition plan. We've been talking about UN's agreement and votes that Israel should become a state. We've been talking about 1967, about 1973, about the Oslo Accords. But today, the younger generation does not care about the facts. And to be honest, even those facts don't give us legitimacy, because it's not because some governing body of other nations told the Jewish people that we should have a right to self-determination that that gives us legitimacy. Because if they said no, we would still fight for it and we would still have gotten it. And it's also not because the British promised us with the Balfour Declaration, because clearly since 1917, where they promised with the Balfour Declaration till 1948, and with the white papers in between, they clearly didn't want to give it to us in the first place, and we eventually forced them off through Jewish terrorism, making them eventually leave their colony, which was in the land at that time called Palestine. So we have to be able to narrate our story. What is the story of Israel? It's not just because the San Remo Accords or the Balfour Declaration or the UN. It's not also because we won wars. It's because we are a story of a 4,000-year-old native people that came from the land of Judea that were physically and forcibly displaced by a Western white imperial nation called the Romans. During our displacement of 2,000 years, we maintained a constant presence in our homeland. And through all that time, after persecution, oppression, and extermination, We created the most successful indigenous liberation movement that ever existed, where for the first time in history, a native people came back home, revived their civilization, decolonized their land, and kicked off the oppressive force. That is the story of Israel. And that is not what is being told usually in the mainstream when it comes to Israel. People say, oh, well, you think you have a right to a country because God gave it to you. Well, I've never heard someone make that argument in an intellectual conversation. Or you have a right to a country because you had the Holocaust. No, I have not heard anyone make that argument either, because by that argument, we could have created a country somewhere else. Or you have a right to exist because you have all these like technology and all these great things. Well, that's kind of something that I've heard, because the question asked is, why does Israel have a right to exist and where are the Jewish people? And all I hear a lot of the mainstream pro-Israel or Jewish voices say is, look at how great we are, look at all the great advances we've done, and that's clearly not effective. So we have to be able to speak the language of the generation, and it's not like we have to make up a story. It is our story. We are a story of liberation. We are a story that represents empowerment to all other minorities and indigenous peoples. And that is actually also our purpose as a nation. Part of our culture is to do tikkun olam en olagun, to empower other nations for them to achieve their potential and their success, and to heal the body, the greater body, which is the world. That is our purpose. So we should be talking about our story in a way that people can understand. We have to stand up when there's anti-Semitism. Most of the times when someone says something anti-black at a campus, or anti-women on a campus or an intellectual space, there's an immediate reaction, either by those individuals that are of that community or general public that has recognized today that that's something wrong. But when someone says something against Israel, against the Jewish people, most Jews and most Israelis stay silent. So if we don't stand up for ourselves, we cannot expect anyone else to stand up for us. So we need to empower ourselves, gain the strengths and the skills, educate the world, narrate our story, and make sure that the same way that there's freedom of speech, that there's a freedom of reaction to speech. The same way people would react to racism and to xenophobia of any type, people must react and understand that there should be a reaction to anti-Semitism as well.
Rudy, I hear you loud and clear. I hear you in terms of restating our narrative, our story. And yet, I'm not sure that takes us anywhere. Are you not left ultimately then with a Jewish narrative, which gives you one side, an Arab narrative, which will give you another side, and never the two will meet? How does one actually get to a situation where events such as those that we saw in Lod and in Akko and in Bat Yam stop happening?
So that's a whole other conversation. There's a situation of how the world perceives us, which clearly the world doesn't actually know what's going on here, and how we are perceiving each other on the land is a completely different conversation. The problem is that since the British, what they were very good at is divide and conquer. They did this in India and Pakistan. They did this with the tribal groups, ethnic groups in Nigeria. They did this with the tribal ethnic groups in Afghanistan. Wherever they went, they divided and conquered. And they did the same thing to the Arabs, the Palestinians, and to the Jews. They convinced us that we were the worst enemy of the other, and the representation, whether our symbols, our language, our imagery, whatever it is, that was the reason why we couldn't succeed. And we're still living in this movie. And so part of what I do here in the land is I'm a part of a movement called Habayit, which unites Israelis and Palestinians, local leaders, not people in power on the top with political seats, but people in power that are the leaders of communities. And we unite, we talk about our narratives, our stories, our struggles, our experiences, our aspirations, understanding each other's identities in order to craft a better reality where we can live on one land without any separation and also achieve our aspirations. And there are many ideas of how to get there, but first, we must unite the people, because until the people are divided on this land and focused more on talking to the rest of the world of why we're right and they're wrong, then we're never going to actually fix it. And if we used our energy on both sides, if Palestinian activists, either Palestinian themselves or pro-Palestinian, use their energy to actually engage with Israelis, and if Israelis actually use their energy to engage with Palestinians to understand what must be done and to start doing that, rather than speaking to everyone else in the world, we would be far further than where we are today forward.
Rudy, I found that absolutely fascinating. I'm hoping that next time we talk, we can explore that line further. We've identified the problems. We've identified what we need to do. But you now have identified a very interesting way forward. With some luck, I hope we chat again. In fact, not luck. We will chat again and we'll explore that. Rudy Rochman, thank you so very much for talking to us again on Chai FM.
Thank you.